In this MP3, I wanted to talk about some of the more interesting parts of the questions that people have sent in. I'm not going to talk about every single question that I covered. If you want to get all the nitty-gritty details, then you can read the full document itself. It's only about 20 pages long, so it shouldn't take you too long to skim over it. But here I'm going to talk about, off the cuff, some of the more interesting parts of the questions that people sent in. So the first question was, what state of mind should you be in to have OBEs? And I thought that this was interesting because there are basically two answers to it. The first answer is for the 101 approach. With the 101 approach, it's all about using your body's own physiology, so it doesn't really matter what your state of mind is. As long as you can mimic your state of sleep exactly and get the sleep breathing pattern right and get very deeply relaxed, then it doesn't matter at all what your state of mind is. But if you're going to go for the 102 approach, then it does matter what your state of mind is. And the real gotcha with the 102 approach is that you need to be non-reactionary in your thinking. What that means is that a lot of times as you're relaxing into an OBE, if you're new to it, you're going to come across things that are just totally brand new phenomena to you, and they're going to surprise you. Things like rushing noises and vibrations, or various types of memory impressions that you'll come across. You'll have a tendency to react to them. So what will happen is you'll be collecting memory impressions, and something will happen, and you'll react to it by removing your focus from the memory impressions that you were collecting, and instead putting the focus onto whatever it is that you're reacting to. So you're collecting impressions, and you get vibrations, and you start to think about that. You lose your focus on what you should have been focusing on, which were the impressions, and you wreck your trance. So there really isn't anything you can do about that other than to get to the point where everything in the OBE is almost boring to you. So you get to each stage of trance, and it's something that you've already been through many times before. So you get to vibrations, and it does not excite you in any way because you've already been through the state of vibrations many times before. It's not anything new to you. The more non-reactionary you can get, the easier it is for you to dip deeper and deeper into trance and just go smoothly from one state to the next and not get caught up on things.
I had some questions about stop, drop, and roll also. The thing about stop, drop, and roll is that the purpose is to fall asleep quickly. It's not necessarily to enter sleep paralysis. The best way to enter sleep paralysis is to wake up and fall asleep several times without moving. So what you would do there is you would use stop, drop, and roll to fall asleep once, and then you'd have the timer set up so that when you fall asleep, the timer will wake you up again, then you fall asleep again without moving, you wake up and fall asleep, and so forth. You're not going to use stop and drop and roll each time the timer beeps. It's only that first time. It's only used to fall asleep quickly that first time. If you find that you can't fall asleep quickly using stop, drop, and roll, then don't use it. But you probably can get it to work, and here's the basic method. The idea here is that you want to forget all about the fact that you're even using this. You start out with your arms above your head, and then just go ahead and zone out completely. Don't even think about anything. Daydream if you want, but just forget all about what you're doing. The only reason that you would want to move your arms down to the next step with your arms at your side is when you start to get a feeling like you should move. If you never get that feeling, or if you just fall asleep in that first position, then that's fine. You don't need to use the full method. If you do get a feeling like you should move, then go ahead and move your arms down to your side and then zone out again and just forget completely about what you're doing. Do not try to concentrate on anything. Don't try using any visualizations. Don't try to do anything at all. Just zone out and forget completely about what you're doing. Basically, you want it to be as close to what you usually do to go to sleep as possible. The only difference is that when you go to sleep normally, you might be moving around a lot more. You might be responding to the roll signal all the time and moving all the time. With stop, drop, and roll, you want to reduce the amount of motion that you do to the absolute minimum. So the maximum times that you're going to move is going to be twice. When you move your arms from up above your head down below, and then secondly, when you roll over onto your side. And you don't have to do either one of those. If you can go straight from laying down and just go directly to sleep, then that's what you should do, and you should forget all about using stop, drop, and roll. The next question I thought was really good. It's basically, how do you know which visualizations to use at what time? And it does matter which visualizations you use in what order. There are certain visualizations that are designed specifically in order to prime the pump, and they don't work very well at all for actually separating into the non-physical environment. And on the same token, if you use the separation visualizations right off the bat, it won't work either, because you'll never get a strong enough initial connection to to the OBE environment, and there'll be nothing for you to grab onto. So for instance, the computer menu visualization was a pump priming visualization, and you used it to start to get an initial stream of memory impressions flowing to you. Now what happens is that most of the time you're going to end up abandoning your pump priming visualization, and the reason is that when you start your pump priming visualization, it will get you to the point where you start to get impressions of whatever it is that you're visualizing. So for instance, with the computer menu, you'll start to get some fleeting and possibly sticky impressions of the computer menu with the windows and the widgets and everything that are moving around on your computer screen. However, you won't actually use those impressions to do the OBE. The purpose of those impressions is to just act as kind of like a magnet or bait. Those are going to attract the real memory impressions that you'll use to do the OBE. So you'll have a faint stream of computer menu impressions coming to you. And then you'll start to get impressions of something else. So for instance, you might start to get impressions of the next room over. You'll start to get a sense that you could probably do a teleporting OBE right now. If you probably created a projected copy of yourself, you could probably do a teleporting OBE. And then you abandon your initial computer menu visualization and switch to your separation visualization. In this case, it would be your teleporting OBE. You could get impressions for anything else. You could start to get impressions for a mental projection, where you find that somewhere in the blackness space around you, that you have the sense that there's something else there. Like it could be the grill of a car, or it could be a tree, or it could be basically anything. And you start to sense that if you were to use one of your non-physical arms to reach out and touch that thing, or grab onto it, that it would suck you in, and then you would have your OBE. It really depends on what happens. But the main point here is that you're gonna use different visualizations for different times. Your initial visualization is not probably going to last the entire induction. You're gonna have to give up on it in order so that you can switch into your actual OBE visualization, your actual separation visualization. And you never really know for sure what that separation visualization is gonna be until you get there. So you have to be flexible, and that's one of the reasons why there are so many different options in Lucidology 102, is because it's designed to kind of show you all the different ways that the OBE might go. You never really know. It's always very unpredictable. You start out with one visualization and it could go basically anywhere. Another common question was what to do about your eyes. A lot of times you'll start to get impressions and it's really hard to keep from looking at them. And when you do look at them, if they're too delicate, you'll end up destroying them just by looking at them. In Lucidology 102, we talked about using the shifted eyeballs trick, where the idea was that you create an area in your awareness that is just outside your physical field of view. So what you can do for this, if you're having a problem with looking at things before you're supposed to, is to create your visualization in an area that is absolutely impossible for you to see. So you can put the visualization directly behind your head or even inside your head. One thing that I like to do is to imagine like there's a sheet of paper, a vertical sheet of paper going up and down, like basically in the center of my brain. So there's no possible way that my eyes can turn around and look at that thing. But the more you visualize, the more whatever it is, the the more the space that you're visualizing into will seem real. So it doesn't actually matter if your physical eyes can turn to look at those things. So you can try imagining basically anywhere. You can imagine that it's on the other side of town or on the moon or anywhere at all you want. Try imagining somewhere that you cannot possibly see, and that will help you avoid looking at things before you're supposed to. One really good question was, what do you do with your mind when you're using the timer and or when you're just relaxing? And basically, I do absolutely nothing with my mind. I just try to keep it as blank as possible. The only thing that I might focus on while I'm relaxing is I might place my focus on the center of my chest and think about the feeling of gravity, because that does seem to help with the feeling of paralysis. But other than that, when I'm doing the relaxation and when I'm using the timer, I don't use any visualizations. It's not until after I already have a really strong stream of memory impressions already coming to me. That's when I'll start to use some kind of visualization.
There were some questions about the mental geography map and some of the terminology and wording in it. And what exactly was the mental geography map all about? So here's the lowdown on that. A good example of using it is with the shifted blackboard trick. What you're doing when you use that is you're creating a bridge between your eyelid space and your non-physical dream space. And you're doing that using your memory space and your mind space. What happens is that you use your intention, which is your mind space, to create the memory of the number 5, for example. Create the memory of the number 5, and you're going to project it onto your eyelid space. And you project that 5, so the part of it is in the vision, in the area of your vision that you can actually see, and part of it is outside the area that you can't see. Or part of it is in the area that you cannot see. The more you use your intention to energize that memory of the number 5 in that space, the more you'll end up attracting non-physical memory impressions from non-physical space. And what will happen is that eventually you'll start to attract memory impressions in addition to the number 5. So you'll get to the point not only that you can energize the number 5 to the point that you can see it when you've got a subconscious focus, but also the fact that you have this 5 projected there acts as bait. It'll act like a magnet that attracts other memory impressions. And that was what I was talking about in the other questions about when you have the second stream of memory impressions. It's that second stream of memory impressions, that's what you'll actually use to project into the OBE. You'll abandon the number 5 that you've created and switch your focus over into something else. So you'll get to the point where you can project then using a mental projection or a teleporting OBE, or you'll slip into a lucid dream that you can recall or whatever. You won't actually use the 5 to project. You've just used it as bait to connect into the memory impressions that you've attracted. So that's what the mental geography map was really all about, is using your initial impression, your initial visualization as bait to attract your main stream of memory impressions. One really good question that I got was, how do you kickstart your imagination? And one really big, powerful secret for increasing your creativity is to create a large separation between your question and the time that you actually get the answer. So, for instance, ask yourself very specifically the question that you want to have answered, and then try to basically forget all about it and then go do something that kind of shuts your mind off. You want it to be something that's relatively boring, actually. So, for instance, you might go brush your teeth or go driving or do the dishes or something that makes it so your mind wants to shut itself off. And when your mind finally shuts itself off and gets out of the way, that's when you'll finally get that aha moment, and you'll absorb the answer to your question. So there's the two parts. You have to have a specific question, and then you have to shut your mind off and make it so that you are ready to receive the answer. I had some questions about how to enter waking sleep paralysis without using the timer. So the best way to do that is to get really good at the Lucidology 101 methods, especially using sleep breathing. Sleep breathing is extremely powerful, but if you do it wrong, it is possible for you to feel like you're running out of breath. So you've got to, it's really a good idea to make a recording of your own personal sleep breathing pattern. The MP3 that I posted of my own sleep breathing pattern is, it works for me, but it's not necessarily going to be any good for anybody else, because it's not going to be your own personal breathing rhythm. So make a recording of your own self sleeping at night, and then you can use that to mimic your own sleep breathing. That is probably, if there was just one skill for entering sleep paralysis and you can't use a timer, sleep breathing would probably be it. Right behind that would be deep relaxation, but actually it is possible for you to just put yourself to sleep if you get the sleep breathing pattern just exactly right. It's difficult to do, though. I've only done that maybe 2 or 3 times. You're a lot better off using it in combination with other methods, like the sleep triggers from Musicology 101 and all the relaxation skills. Now, the actual original question here was, how do you enter waking sleep paralysis without using the timer? But really what you want is, how do you enter into an OBE without using the timer? And the best way to do that is to train yourself to wake up in the morning and not move at all, and use the memory impressions that you already have from whatever dream you were just in to slip right back into an OBE. And you can do that without entering sleep paralysis. That's a good way to enter into a mental projection, just by every single time you wake up in the morning, train yourself to watch for memory impressions and use those as bait, or however, use whatever methods that we've covered, use those to develop them into an OBE and have a mental projection, and then maybe a phasing projection or even a teleporting OBE. And you can do that without using sleep paralysis. The other method that we talked about for doing OBEs without sleep paralysis was to use the rapid fire timer setup, where you set the timer to beep every 1 minute or every 2 minutes, and you have a long string of OBEs, or you might do a dozen OBEs, and you'll get to the point there where you're hovering so closely to the awake asleep threshold that you can pretty easily have an OBE and a traditional style OBE right directly into the non-physical version of your bedroom, even if you're not in sleep paralysis. The timer will be beeping, and it won't really make a difference, because you're already so close, you're already so embedded in your subconscious that it's very easy to have OBEs at that point. Doing OBEs where you just wake up in the morning and you watch for memory impressions is a lot like that state, but it's not quite as obvious. Once you've done a stream of rapid-fire OBEs, your awareness of your non-physical environment becomes much more apparent. When you just wake up in the morning and use the memory impressions to have an OBE, it is possible to have, that's actually what I usually do lately, is to use those impressions to have OBEs without being in sleep paralysis. But it's a lot more subtle than it is when you use the rapid-fire method. The rapid-fire method is like using a sledgehammer on it, and it's almost hard not to have an OBE at that point. When you use the memory impressions in the early morning, when you first wake up, it's going to be more subtle. But that is definitely my preferred way of doing it, because you don't have to go through all the trouble of setting up the timer and everything else.
One thing that we have not talked about, which we probably should have, is what about non-physical protection? Should you be worried about non-physical entities that are maybe negative in nature? And the answer is that they do exist, and they can latch onto you, and they can drain your energy. There is no single protection that you can use any more than there is a single physical protection that you can use here in waking awareness. It's not like you can just put on a bulletproof vest and then just be invincible in all situations here in waking awareness. In the same scenario, the same kind of way, there's no one single protection that you can use in OBEs against these things. And basically, you'll run across, basically, the usual kind of negative that you'll run across will be some kind of, like, gigantic spider or something, some kind of obvious parasite that if it latches onto you, it'll just start draining your energy. And if it's on you, you'll find that it's a lot more difficult to move. It'll be harder to see. Everything will be darker. You just got to get rid of these things if you find them on you. They can come in various sizes and shapes, and they're really not a whole lot of fun. This is a big topic, though, so we're going to talk about it a lot more in Lucidology 103. But I just wanted to say that if you do run across parasites or negs or whatever, I wouldn't rely too much on the like the love and light kind of protection methods where you shower them with love and light and you just hope that they go away or whatever. That doesn't really seem to do a whole lot of good. I would, you know, make their life as difficult as possible. If there's a badger if you're being attacked by a goose or something, showering it with love and light probably isn't going to do you a lot of good. You're going to have to show the goose who's boss and get rid of the goose. So it's not like, you know, the rules of nature suddenly change when you're in an OB. It's going to be fairly similar to about how you would act and how things work here in waking awareness. But we're going to talk about that more in Lucidology 103.